The steel that goes into your cars and cutlery might be resilient, but the industry itself is hurting. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning.
We're going to fight for American workers and American-made steel.
That self-proclaimed man of steel, President Trump, promising to protect the U.S. industry from dumping. But a merger today between the European operations of two giants, India's Tata and Germany's ThyssenKrupp, suggests the sector's problems are global. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more.
This agreement reflects a problem affecting the global steel industry, excess capacity, as ThyssenKrupp's chief financial officer Guido Kerkhoff told the BBC.
The European steel industry has quite a number of challenges. It's the pricing situation overall, it's the weaker demand and the overcapacities. With this joint venture with Tata and ThyssenKrupp Steel that we want to create here, we will create a very clear number two in this sector.
ThyssenKrupp described the deal as the only option that gives its steel business a viable long-term future. The merger would safeguard tens of thousands of jobs. Even so, there was a warning it would not be possible to avoid a substantial number of job losses. Up to 4,000 across the two companies are likely to be affected in the coming years.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Let's do the numbers. Spain's IBEX index is down 46 points or 0.44% as shares of Zara owner Inditex slump after earnings. Ahead of the Fed's rate decision, France's CAC is up 6 points or 0.13%. Now, the global outlook is brighter, but that doesn't necessarily mean sustained growth. That's the forecast out in the past hour from the Paris-based OECD. Catherine Mann is its chief economist. She told me why things are looking up for Europe.
Here we have a situation of reforms being undertaken in countries in the Spains, in the Portugals, in the Italys, really having traction. And you've got France and Germany doing better as well. And so the neighborhood is pulling itself up. And you're getting collective benefits.
Now, the U.S. is looking rosier as well, but there's been no upgrade. Why is that?
We had thought that there would be more movement on legislative agenda and that the government would be taking more of a leading role in supporting the U.S. economy going forward. As it turns out, that has not been the case. But the private sector has picked up in terms of business investment and consumption. And in that sense, the economy moving forward at 2%. These are good growth rates, but we don't think that they are good enough in order to do the things that the U.S. economy needs to do in order to pay pensions, in order to ensure that wages are rising in the private sector. So more needs to be done.
Let's look at wage growth because it's been disappointing globally. What are the reasons for that?
There are a number of reasons for why it makes sense that we have low wage growth. The first one is going, again, back to productivity. But the second issue is if we look at the OECD as a whole, employment rates for women have expanded and grown faster and indeed are above where they were in 2008. But employment rates for men have not even gotten back to where they were. So you've got more women employed. Women get paid less than men on average. So the algebra works out to be a downward pressure on wage growth.
The OECD's Catherine Mann. Beer and elections. What's the connection, you ask? The BBC's Joe Miller has the answer. He's on a tour of Germany, Europe's biggest economy, ahead of national elections. Here's his latest from Munich.
This is Oktoberfest, the largest beer festival on earth and an international byword for Bavaria. It's not an event for those on a tight budget. A litre of beer will cost you €10.95. That's around $13. But if any place can afford to pay these sorts of prices, it's Bavaria and its supremely wealthy capital, Munich. Locals are proud of this region's economic success. Unemployment is virtually eradicated. Public finances are in good shape. There's comparatively little to complain about. Unless, that is, you run a small business.
Kein Texas, no Memphis, Munich style.
37-year-old Marcel Thiel is a judge on TV food shows and the proud boss of Ripple B, a smoky barbecue restaurant and food truck in Munich. His business is booming, but finding people to help prepare his food is quite a challenge.
It's really hard. I need good employees, but it's hard to fill vacancies. And even when I do find someone, I'm looking for enthusiasm. But they are tardy when it comes to timekeeping and spend all their time on their smartphones. There are lots of jobs in Munich, and it has led to a change in social attitudes. People want a lot of money for little work.
Back at Oktoberfest, and students from the local Ludwig Maximilian University are getting in a few rounds of the exorbitantly priced beer before term begins, confident that for them at least, finding a job to pay for such revelry will not be much of a challenge, regardless of who wins the election. In Munich, I'm the BBC's Joe Miller for Marketplace.
Finally, pigeons in Portugal have a new place to roost. It's a $14,000 pigeon hotel. The catch, when the birds lay eggs, they're destroyed. Call it bird-brained, but it's nicer than shooting them, and it saves Lisbon some money. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.